started. Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Thursday, March 9th, 2017. This is the 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call for parents of older kids, and we will be talking today about curiosity, which is always a lively conversation, and I've had a couple of really interesting ones this week, so I'm very excited to see how this conversation goes. And Andrea, I believe that's you that's just joined us as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Awesome. Welcome. So, and somebody else has just joined us. Who's here from Massachusetts?
Hi, it's Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Yeah, I don't know. I just said I have to get to a group, and so I'm here.
I love that. I love that commitment. Well, it's funny. I was just saying that, that attendance has been sort of strangely low this week. We figured everybody was on spring break or something.
We're getting back from spring break.
We're getting back, exactly. So,
like, oh. Woo.
So I just want to make sure you're usually in the
I'm
Thursday
supposed
night
to be in
class,
the Thursday evening, yep.
Okay,
yep.
Just making sure. Just finding you on my roster. Okay, good to go.
Thanks.
Awesome. All right, here we go. We are going to do check-ins. Let's start with, we got five people today, so we're going to pay attention to bottom lining, not shortcutting, but bottom lining. But let's start with a quick check-in about where everybody is or what's going on for you real quick. And if you want to dovetail that into taking aim, that's totally fine, or not if you want us to come back to you on it. So who wants to get us started?
I'll go if that's okay.
Of course.
Okay. This is Michelle from California. I'm having issues. My son, he's 15, has autism, and he also has ADHD. And the thing we're struggling with lately is he thinks it's funny to sneak his phone or his tablet or whatever into his room on a school night. And we're usually pretty good about, you know, handing it over before he goes in. But like last night, he had this old little device, Game Boy, from, like, gosh, 5 years ago that I forgot about. And at 1 in the morning, I hear something, and there he is. And it's almost like he's using it as a distraction, even though he needs to get sleep. He then gets tired the next day, and then the yelling match with us and me threatening to take away privileges. And it's just becoming kind of a vicious circle. So I'm trying to figure out why he thinks this is okay to do. Maybe because he's 15, I don't know. So we're just struggling with that right now. That's our main thing, is him just trying to do things to distract himself from going to bed, whether it's electronics or something else.
Okay. All right. So what you're dealing with is electronics and bedtime.
Mostly, yeah.
And the combination of the two. So it sounds like that's where you want to take aim as well, as sort of.
Yeah.
And what I hear you taking aim on is really understanding what's going on.
Right.
So it's, you know, before you even get the solution, I just want to acknowledge you. Yep.
Yeah,
perfect time for curiosity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, just full disclosure, as an ADHD adult, the very first article I ever wrote was, "Why Can't I Put Myself to Bed?" And I actually just interviewed somebody this week, Dr. David Palmer, I think it was, and we'll be putting it up sometime in the next couple of months about sleep and ADHD. So it is a big issue. About 75% of people with ADHD struggle with sleep issues.
Right.
So,
I mean, once he's asleep, he's fine, but it's just
right,
getting,
but
to,
getting
sleep
to sleep.
Is crazy. Right,
and here's what I will tell you. Going to bed is boring.
I guess.
It's really, really, really boring.
Sure.
So, you know, that's just, I mean, there's more, of course, to explore, but just understand that this is absolutely an aspect of what's happening for him, more than likely, as his ADHD is rearing.
Right.
Okay. Who else? And what about you?
I can go next.
Do you have your milk yet?
No. Not yet, but I'm almost about to fix the problem. Anyway.
Okay.
We've had a pretty good couple of weeks. My daughter, Lauren, who's 18 with ADHD, anxiety, found a job she was interested in all by herself. She applied for it, got an interview, got a trial. She didn't get the job, but it's terrific that she actually took the initiative and went and did all that stuff all by herself. And I also took both my daughters out for dinner the other night on International Women's Day. We had a lovely evening, and we haven't spent time together like that in a really enjoyable, positive way since I can't remember when. So it's really, that's really good. Yeah.
That is really good.
So really
I love
happy
that.
With that. Yeah. So things are on the up in terms of where she's at. And I just did want to say, too, I think it was Carolyn that Lauren's insomnia started when she was about 15, about the age your son is now. And she'd been a great sleeper
Michelle,
all her life
yeah.
until... Sorry, Michelle.
Yeah.
A great sleeper
that's
all
okay.
her life until about then, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty... It's not atypical. So, and that's another data point shared. Thank you. Everyone on the call is going to say, yeah, we got sleep issues. Yeah, we got sleep issues. Pam, do you know what you want to take aim on this week while we're here?
No, not really, actually. Things are pretty good, so just kind of check in, see where everybody else is at, and
okay.
making sure I'm staying focused on, you know, supporting her as best I can.
Yep. So this week you're taking aim on staying in conscious mom mode.
Yeah, that's good.
Great, love it. Who else? Amy, what about you?
Hi. Okay, so this might turn into more about me than my kid.
That is just fine. That is
sorry,
just
guys.
Fine.
Just hearing that sleep thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is boring. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. I'll be honest, I'm just struggling right now with some sort of depression creeping in for me personally. So
okay.
I'm kind of here. Just
okay.
That's going to be probably my big achievement for okay. right now. So don't know.
So can I encourage you yeah. to take aim on self-care?
Yeah, that would be a good thing to do.
Great.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Always a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my motto is this, when all else fails or you don't know where to take aim,
mm-hmm.
always default to self-care.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. I'm writing that down.
Yeah. Self-care is a great default because it will always serve.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, Andrea, where are you?
Well, let's see. My daughter is 17. She's got ADHD and... She's gifted, but has ADHD and dyslexia.
Yep. I got one of those. Two of those, actually, but one really.
Yeah, but she started actually taking medication the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Which she...
For the ADHD or the... or?
Yeah, for the ADHD.
Okay.
She had tried one round of it, like, last year, but her life was just too stressed out, so it wasn't a good time to try it. And she wanted to try it again this time, so she's trying something different. And it's been kind of interesting because I noticed that she's talking more, like...
Mm.
Sharing what she's thinking and a lot more without me saying anything. So
right.
it's kind of been really nice because, you know, before it was like I wouldn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
It would, and so
now she can organize her thoughts.
Yeah, it's been very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See that.
That's great. And are you doing a lot of what else, what else, what else? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
But I think it's also because her thoughts are maybe, like you said, getting more organized somehow. I think she's also more worried about things.
Mm. Okay.
In a way. Because she kind of had like a panic attack last night. which she's never really had before. And so, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I know that medication can kind of increase your heart rate and stuff like that, but it was kind of later in the day. I mean, it was in the evening.
Right.
Some of that, the medication probably wears off by then.
Well, it's that coming down off the medication can have a lot of different impacts.
Oh, okay.
Right, and so it can cause, you know, with younger kids, it can cause meltdowns and tantrums, and it would not be surprising if with an older kid it would cause a little anxiety. You know, I've been able to focus all day, and all of a sudden now I don't know what I'm thinking about or what I'm supposed to be doing, or, you know, like, what, you know, that can be stressful.
Right.
So that's one place to watch out for. The other is that for some people, stimulant medication can amp up anxiety or demonstrate an anxiety that you didn't know was there.
Mm.
And so it's just something to watch out for and make sure that you're talking to your provider about, because it may be that a different stimulant might have a different effect. You know, it may be that she would do better with a non-stimulant. It may be that it's just fine and she just needs to learn to manage it. So I don't want to make it wrong. I just want you to you're noticing something important and just take note and be mindful of it. And, you know, if you can keep a journal when you're doing med trials, it's great.
Okay.
Because everything matters.
Yeah.
Right? You know, not only what happened, but when it happens, you know,
right,
that kind of thing can really help.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and I was talking to somebody, another a private client this week about it, that, I mean, we have to remember, when we try a new medication, it's a medication trial, right? We are in
right.
med trial. We have to remember that, like, because
yeah.
I think we tend to forget, but, you know, because then it's about how did it go? Is it working? Is it not? How is it helping? How is it not? Do we up it? Do we change it? Do we, you know, like, there are a lot of decisions to make.
Right.
So this is the place to sort of put on that medical manager hat. And the more you take notes, the better it will be for you over time. Because it's hard to, you think you're going to remember and then you don't.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And so do you have a sense of where you want to take aim?
I guess take aim on keeping track of what we're seeing.
Okay. So sort of monitoring the new meds.
Yes, monitoring
okay.
the new meds.
I think that's fair. And Carolyn, I want to go to you, and then I want everybody I'm going to come back around and do a really quick celebration, just like a one or two word bottom line celebration, because we forgot to sort of add that, and I think it's always a great energy. But Carolyn, start with where are you in terms of check-in.
Yeah. Hey, Elaine, just I am recovering and in the middle of continued transitions. So just in terms of my aunt passed away, my other aunt passed away, and then on Tuesday I go for a job interview, which is good. And
yes.
So it's just all really good things. Daughter came home from college. Has gone back now. I'll just do my celebration right now. Just, I'm having so many more wonderful moments, with both daughters. Second daughter also had, just went and got her learner's permit. And so we've been driving. So, it's incredible. And for taking aim, I'm still not sure if it's continuing to kind of set up boundaries of what is mine to do and what is not mine to do, and making sure I do it. Or it could be self-care, or it could be job, you know, anxiety which goes to self-care. So, anyway.
I think with
That's
a job interview on the horizon, I'm going to vote for self-care, personally.
You know what? Awesome. Thanks. Hey,
if I get a vote.
The fastest I've ever said anything? Notice? That was like the fastest, fewest words I've ever said anything.
Well
anyway.
Done. Well done. And you got a celebration in there, too, which is brilliant.
Yep.
Love it. I want to touch back in with everybody with a quick celebration. I know we've got a great conversation ahead of us, but always good. Pam, I think yours was a celebration that your daughter took initiative and looked for a job for herself. That's awesomeness.
Yeah, it is. Fantastic. And then she got well through the process, which is great.
Yep. All the way through it. Brilliant. Michelle, what about you?
Well,
what are you taking
quite.
Aim on? Right. Well, not all the way. Fair enough.
What am I taking aim on or celebrating?
I'm sorry. What are you celebrating really quickly?
I think one good thing that's been going on is my son, he's been doing much better in school. He's been more focused. He's using his time wisely and getting decent grades, so that's been great, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Better in school. Cannot argue.
Yeah.
Carolyn is enjoying time with both daughters. Amy, what can you celebrate? I want
I'm
to celebrate
here.
That you're here, personally.
Me too. Took the words out of my mouth.
Okay. Just that alone is huge.
Thanks, yep.
Yep. Andrea, what about you? I hear that she's communicating more, so that's good. Do you want to add to that, or is that your celebration?
Yeah, I mean, with that communication, I found out that, you know, she really is actually trying to figure out how to get to school on time, which I had no idea. I had no idea there was any of that going on before. So,
that's great.
Yeah. She's got a lot going on in her head, but, you know, a lot of times I have no idea.
Yeah, that's pretty typical, and it can get stuck there, and it swirls. So that ability to get it out, get it organized enough to get it out is huge.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I know we're going to get into our topic. Sandy, I saw that you've joined us. Do you want to just give a quick bottom line celebration?
It's kind of a ditto from what some other people have said. Is he's, you know, starting to feel a little more focused. The grades are coming up a little bit, and kind of the emotional regulation is much better, like hugely
awesome.
Better than a year ago. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Getting there.
Cool. Step by step.
Thanks.
Brilliant.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about curiosity. And I'm sorry to rush everybody through the first part, but I really want time for this conversation. I said to a group the other day that if I had to choose, I know I always say it's my favorite topic or I love the topic, and, you know, it's because I love this stuff. But if I had to choose one topic to choose to teach parents and nothing else, it would be curiosity. That or celebration. It'd be hard to choose between the two. But curiosity is this powerful tool for two things. We can use it really well in that phase two of the model when we're looking at collecting information. It's just a really powerful tool. When we get curious, we can shift our perspective and find a different understanding of what's going on. We can find compassion for what our kids' experience is. We can step out of judgment. We can step out of blame. We can step out of taking it personally. I mean, it's really a stunningly useful tool for so many of the other strategies we're trying to work on. And it's a particularly good tool for shifting expectations, right? When we get curious, instead of standing there saying, why can't you, we go, wonder why you can't, right? And that shift allows us to meet them where they are and help them, you know, raise the bar from that place. So I just find it a really powerful tool. And so curiosity isn't about drilling our kids. You know, I laugh sometimes that I know my mother-in-law is trying to be curious, but when she barrages me with questions where I feel like I'm being interrogated, it no longer feels like curiosity. I know she just wants to know what's going on, but there's a style, there's a way that she asks it that feels like I just want to back up against a wall sometimes, you know. So there's a part of curiosity that's about being open and being curious about what what do they want to share with us? What do they want to tell us? What do they want us to know, or what's going on in their experience, rather than it being about what do I want to know that I want them to tell me? And I think that when we first hear this notion of curiosity, sometimes we'll go to, well, I'm going to start asking them questions, which is fine, but we want to try to keep those questions as open as we can so that they can really tell us what they want to tell us or what turns out to be important for us to know, instead of asking, did you go talk to that teacher? You might ask, even what happened when you talked to the teacher, or what's going on with English class, or, you know, something much more open so that you can really collect information that you want or that's salient without putting them on the defensive. What else is there about curiosity? I think that sort of captures what I wanted to share. I want to open it up and find out what comes up for other people about curiosity. What do you notice about it? How do you use it? Are you conscious of using it? You know, really whatever comes up for you. Now, you don't have to all jump at once.
I have a question. Are you saying that it's best to have a dialogue with our children, I guess? Like, I'm making assumptions about why my son's on his electronics, and you had pointed out, in general, it's hard for people with ADHD to get to sleep. But I feel it's a combination of that, and the more I tell him not to, it seems like he's being a little defiant, so that's where I get angry. I forget about the ADHD and the autism, and I say to myself, I told you not to, and you're doing it anyway. I don't know how to have that dialogue with him to figure out why, if it is just truly innate and he can't help himself, or is he being a little naughty because he's bored and he wants to distract himself before he goes to bed. I mean, I play on my phone sometimes, so I get that, but it's just when I catch him at 2 in the morning or 1 in the morning and he has school the next day, I know it's going to be a rough day for him, so I'm not sure how to handle this, what to say.
So when you think about the notion of curiosity in regard to this issue, right? So you said sometimes you'll forget he has autism and ADHD. It just feels like he's being disobedient. And he's
exactly,
15, so
yeah.
there's a part of him that probably is. But curiosity is about stepping back enough to say, okay, let me think about what might be going on. Right? Instead of jumping to that conclusion, he's disobedient. He's being naughty. It invites you to step back and say, okay, what else is at play here?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm really not sure, unless it's just he's overwhelmed from so much that goes on during the day. You know, like I said, he's doing good at school, but that it takes a lot of work to do good. So maybe he feels he needs some downtime before he's required to go to bed. And I don't mind having a little bit of downtime, but not 2 or 3 hours behind my back. And I don't feel like I should be checking in every 15 minutes to see what's going on. And, you know, anyway, I've confiscated his electronics except for his phone last night, and they're hidden for a week. And I don't know if that's the best strategy, but what would you suggest for me to open a dialogue with him to see what might be going on without putting him on the defensive?
So, great question. And if I can reframe it in the context of this conversation, it's how can I get curious about what's happening so that I don't put him on the defensive, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So let me open that up to the group. You know, several of you have kids a few years older, so you've been going through this a little bit longer. What's jumping up at you?
This is Andrea, and this kind of relates back to something that I think I talked about a couple weeks ago, but for me, this curiosity is, it's like you were saying with your mother, whatever, it's not questions that's going to give you information that you're going to fix the situation. It's like being able to shift your way of looking at it. Like, a lot of times I look at it and I think, okay, I know what she needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need to get her to do it.
Yeah, it's a trap, isn't it?
Yeah, like, because I really, when I think about it, I really don't know what's going on in her head. Like, you know, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I fix it if I don't know?
Right.
And so,
that's a good point.
I'm trying to shift my way of looking at from a fixing it model to, you know, just having the compassion and then having that curiosity of it, trying to understand what's going on.
Yeah. So I hear compassion, I hear curiosity, I hear meet them where they are.
Yeah. But it's
right.
So hard. You don't get any information. Like, I wasn't getting anything before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you can't get information from them, let's just play with that for a minute. Where can you get some of the information that might inform your thinking about it?
Well, you're talking about just educating ourselves in general more about why children with ADHD might do these things.
Okay, yeah. So that's one, is just understanding their issues in particular, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're being here and bringing up that issue and having other people on the call say, oh, yeah, this happens all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, talk to Diane about this issue. It's a huge issue in her home.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And so think about what, or you can get curious and say, okay, what do I know about ADHD, just ADHD, not even before you get to the autism, what do I know about ADHD
right.
that could contribute to these behaviors?
Yeah.
Right.
And I am
okay.
still learning because he hasn't been diagnosed as long. He's been diagnosed with autism since he's been 3, ADHD not as long, just like
right.
over a year. So I'm still learning a lot.
Yeah.
So I
would encourage you to go back to that module on executive function and re-listen to that one.
Okay.
Because it's a really great worksheet to really see what are all the different components that are happening. But, you
right.
know, what we know about it, look, as you say, he's bored, so it's something that's interesting, compelling.
Sure.
He's distracting himself from that. He could need to decompress. That would fit both diagnoses pretty clearly. He's 15, so he's sort of, his brain is starting to shift to wanting to stay up later and sleep later, which the
mm-hmm.
school system does not support.
That's right, exactly.
Right. But it's pretty normal mm-hmm. for a teenager to start wanting to stay up later. I remember mm-hmm. when my oldest kid started high school. This is a long time ago. Her
mm-hmm.
best friend's mother had an older daughter. And she said, I've got one bit of advice for you when they start high school. I said, what? She said, take a nap during the day. I said, what? She said, because they're going to come in at 1 o'clock in the morning and want to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want to be available and ready to talk whenever they need to talk.
Right.
And she was right. Now, I
yeah.
wasn't good at
yeah.
napping. But, you know.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
Their brains start to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, I mean, I've heard my kids say, if I can catch myself to go to sleep before I wake up again.
Oh, wow.
Right.
But may I ask you one more thing about this, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
The thing is, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with everything about being compassionate and curious, but it still doesn't solve the problem as far as I might understand why he's doing it. Maybe he can even share, but there has to be some kind of compromise because this can't be okay. Even if I understand why he's doing it, it's not okay to be up till 1 or 2 in the morning when I know if he does go in earlier without electronics, he will fall asleep usually.
Yeah.
Maybe
now,
it takes a while.
Nothing
but,
here is
you know.
Saying that it's okay. What I'm saying
yeah.
is when you understand this whole dynamic, when you're not reacting because he's taking you,
yeah,
being disrespectful, and you know, then you,
sure,
can problem solve differently.
Okay.
And you can problem solve with him differently,
right,
when you come from,
okay,
a place of compassion and understanding. If you come,
sure,
there saying, I told you not, and you're being sneaky, what's going,
right,
to happen?
Well, it puts him on the defensive. It gets him,
right,
upset, and he's worried about what privileges are getting taken away, et cetera.
Exactly. But if you,
yeah, okay,
work with him to say, okay, this is a challenge. This, I see this as a problem because what do you see happens when you stay up late? Help him understand,
mm-hmm,
it. Let him be part of the process. Then you two can,
okay,
both agree on what happens if he doesn't do it. And then the system's the bad guy, not you.
Okay. That sounds good.
Right. So when he buys,
mm-hmm,
in, and he's part of the solution and part of the consequence determination,
right,
then you get to,
okay,
stay in a place of compassion.
Okay.
Instead of,
good,
punitive. Yes.
Right. Yeah, which is what I would rather. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else? What else is sort of coming up from this conversation for others on the call?
This is Carolyn, and I love this topic, and I've just, it is like this whole other world. So as I'm hearing your brave talk, I'm like, this is like, I know, and that's exactly what it is. The challenge that I always have is being over responsible, so that as I'm feeling over responsible, and then parenting, at what point do you begin to let go? You guys have taught me that curiosity is just another tool. So it's not instead of parenting. It's not a replacement for parenting. It's not letting go and totally laissez-faire. It's just another tool that I didn't have,
mm-hmm,
or that I hadn't practiced.
Or that you hadn't used,
yeah. Maybe if I'm interested. So it's just so incredibly powerful, and also because I do not, just as I am not mind reading my children, I'm asking them to tell me, or, you know, or wondering or whatever. Likewise, the shoe goes on the other foot. In other words, don't assume you know my perspective,
mm-hmm,
without asking me, or asking me, or please be curious about my perspective. You know,
yeah.
So it kind of just opens. I love how it opens it up. I don't have an answer, but
the other thing, here's what comes up for me as you say that, is that when you're curious, you can then come back and say, I was thinking about it, and if they're struggling or they're stuck or they don't know, curiosity can give you that point to be able to say, I'm wondering if you might be using your phone at night before you go to bed because you're bored, or I'm wondering if you might be using your phone because you're feeling like you haven't had enough downtime. Like if they can't come up with it, and that's fine if they can't, it gives you the space. It's that pause to contemplate and think it through, and you might come back to them with thoughts, and they may say, no, it's not that, Mom, it's this. But sometimes just giving them something to bounce off of can give them the access to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, Pam, I know we've had many conversations over the year where you've sort of come to Lauren with one thing and she said, no, it's not this, it's that.
Yes.
But your curiosity,
yeah,
was the access point for that.
Yeah. And I've also had to learn that if there's something going on, I have to manage my impatience. Right. You know, it's tempting to jump in with all my newfound skills in accessing curiosity to find out what's going on, and if she's not ready to talk, she's not ready to talk. It doesn't matter how good my technique is. She's way too intuitive to be able to, you know, if the space isn't there and my approach isn't completely innocent, then she'll see right through me and it'll be on for young and old and I'll get nothing. So, you know, I've learnt to just take my time and wait for the right mood. And then, you know, in that moment when we can talk and she opens up, I can actually find out a heap of stuff. But it might take weeks before that time comes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you may spend a good deal of time getting curious on your own before you actually ever have that dialogue with her, is the other thing I'm hearing you say.
Oh, exactly. It, actually, always. I can.
Always.
You know, 99% of the time. Well, you know, I actually don't remember a time where I've been able to find out straight away, because generally there's something going on and there's a behavioural issue, right, in the moment, and that's why you're curious, which means it's unlikely, at least with my daughter, that here and then I'm going to be able to find out what's going on because she's triggered.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wait and I have to think about it, reflect, research. Yeah.
Wait again. Hard.
You do learn to you have to learn to be patient and not to react. I've become the master at just not reacting. In fact, my older daughter finally last night, she said something to me. She said, "Mum, I just don't know how you do it. You're just a saint." And I said to her, she said, I couldn't do that.
Wow.
You are a saint. And I said, "You are right. I am a saint."
Good for you.
And I managed not to say to her, "It's about bloody time you noticed."
Well, you guys have heard me say this before, but it's a lesson I learned from my niece that I share all the time because I just think it's so brilliant. All kids really want from their parents is, "I'm sorry." And all parents really want from their kids is, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
Pam, you got a gigantic thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But Rachel,
so, yes,
how
my
old?
Advice is be patient. 21.
Right, but how old is she?
Yeah.
She's 21, right? Like
21, yeah.
Yeah, so it's thank yous are
right?
down the road, guys.
And she's neurotypical, right? So 21.
Right.
So that's another be patient. But
well,
it's,
she's,
you know,
she's
the last,
type A. Does that count as neurotypical?
Yeah, well, well, she's not ADHD, I should say.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, I guess the thing is what's come for me in the last, you know, month around many things are better. And I mean, not everything, but many things are better. And it's so hard in the moment to be able to survive it when, you know, every day or week seems to bring a new crisis. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, these things do pass and you just have to, you know, every day I would say to myself, stay calm, don't escalate the situation, you know, keep her safe. And if I woke up in the morning and she was safe, then, you know, it was another day that we would move forward. So it does get better.
Yeah, it does. With work, and I don't want to, it gets better when you do the work that you guys are doing. So I just want to acknowledge for a minute that part of what helps it get better is that every one of you on this call is in a relationship with your own consciousness as a parent, right? You are by being here, you are in an active relationship with yourself about your parenting and how you're in relationship with these kids. And that's huge. Don't ever underestimate just that intention and the value of that space you're creating. Diane went to a workshop the other night, and she called me afterwards. It was on mindfulness, and we've been talking about, like, you know, how do we bring mindfulness to this community, because we know it's a valuable aspect of coaching, and it gets so much attention as its own thing, but it's really it's a subset of coaching in a lot of ways, and I often refer to it as the pause. Right? Mindfulness is that pause. It's that space between trigger and reaction. It's what allows you to shift a reaction to a response. And curiosity is another one of those things. If you can pause, and whether it's mindfulness or curiosity or, you know, the number of other tools that you can use in that space, but it's the pausing that really allows you to move forward with intention, with conscious action, decision making.
Elaine, can I add to that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, were you done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think no, I'm off my soapbox now. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, like that is so huge. I think that that's a big discovery I've had recently because I've been trying to follow, you know, the curiosity and you know, all the PSS work, which is great. And I think that the mindfulness, I've been trying to do this, you know, like 10-minute meditation every morning, and it's been a huge shift for me because, like, the curiosity, I've been curious, but I realize I'm going 1,000 miles an hour curious, and immediately the suspicions go up. They're looking at me like, yeah, you're going to use this information. I'm not going to share it with you. So, you know, and I both of them do that to me, and then I realize with the mindfulness, I'm like, I just stop and I pause. And most of the time, it'll come spilling out now these days, you know, they'll just start talking. And so if I just listen, I'm quiet, you know, and then I ask a question, and then I put myself in first gear again. And that mindfulness exercise that I've been doing really helps you put yourself in first gear.
Mm-hmm. And that's great.
And then the curiosity can really work for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the combination, I think, is really key.
Yeah, it's in that space of pause.
Yeah.
It is. I have to tell you guys, I have a 15-year-old still living at home. I was 16. He just turned 16 last week. Oh, my God. And he came home from school yesterday, and it was this whole issue of whether he was going out with his grandmother or not, and he didn't want to. But anyway, we had plans and yada, yada, right? You know, one of those. And I went into his room to sit down to tell him what our decision had been. And he looks at me, and he just started talking and crying. And, guys, I am not exaggerating when I tell you that I spent 45 minutes in his room going, oh, honey, that must have been so hard, 45 minutes.
Wow.
And he just needed to get it out. And because I kept my mouth shut, he just kept going. And every time, and I'm like sitting looking at my watch because now I've got to leave to go meet his grandmother, right? But, and he just kept going, and he just kept going. And because I created a space for him. So sometimes curiosity isn't active, it's passive, right? And I created a space for him where he felt safe enough to just get it all out. And he just kept talking and talking and talking. And I wasn't trying to fix it, and I wasn't trying to solve it. And if I had started trying to solve it, he would have shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He just needed to be heard. And I think that's another piece here is that, you know, these teenagers are really young adults. They're not children anymore. And they're stuck in this in-between space between childhood and adulthood. And it's exhausting for them to be stuck in this space, to be in some ways emotionally or psychologically or cognitively mature enough to be an adult, but to not have the freedom or even the skills yet to be able to do it. They feel very stuck. And so I think part of this for this age group is about really for us to connect to remember what it was like to be a teenager and how lousy that was, you know, and how hard that was and how lost you felt.
Yeah.
That's what they want us to remember. And not to say, I know how you feel because, but to just create the space for them to have it be okay for them to feel whatever lousy thought they're feeling. Hard to be a teenager. So any other thoughts coming up? I haven't heard from a few of you. Which is okay, but any other thoughts coming up before we sort of take some time to do the final four? Because I want to give it some space today. But Amy, Andrea, Michelle, anybody else?
Hey, this is Amy.
Yeah.
So kind of backing up, someone mentioned something about, the electronics at night and mm-hmm. about decompressing. I was thinking about several of our meetings back. We talked about how hard like school really is, like their day, how really taxing it is. And it's easy to forget that because they're not paying the bills and, you know, finding a contractor to get the roof fixed and stuff. But, but it's, so I don't know. I just, that reminded me of that. So, I don't know. I just wanted, I guess that kind of came up.
Yeah, they are working hard just to be going through their day every day.
Yeah.
You could not pay me money to go back and be a 16, 17-year-old again.
Oh, my gosh. I remember growing up and my dad saying that, like, oh, these are the best years of your life and this is so awesome. I remember thinking, what the hell? What is the point then? Because this is awful. So,
well, look, here's how I like to look at it. I don't want a kid who's going to peak in high school, right?
No.
We all know those people who peaked in high school, right? Not very interesting adults.
Right.
No.
That's a good way to look at it.
You know? I want a kid who's going to peak later. He's got still got some work to do to hit that peak, you know?
I have a question. You mentioned listening to the executive function module.
Mm-hmm.
And which one is that? Or how would I find it?
If you go into the PSS recordings and just scroll back, it'll probably be in September, October. Look for executive function. I think they have the titles in there, don't they?
Okay.
If not, post something on the forum and tag me, and I'll find it for you. But I think you should be able to find it by just going back and looking.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. So let's close up. Let's spend a little bit of time on the final four questions. So take a minute with each of yourselves, whether it's on the place where you took aim or wherever you've landed in this conversation. What were you focusing on today? What had your attention? And what's your aha? What are you taking away? And then, if relevant for you, what action do you want to commit to? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with that? Whether you write it in your journal or wherever you are with it, what were you focusing on? What's your aha? What's your commitment? And how will you be effective with that? Anybody who wants to start sharing?
For me, the takeaway is figuring out that my son is probably bored at night, needs downtime, and then the action would be to talk with him and see what's going on and asking him that and maybe just letting him talk like you said you did with your son or your daughter. Right. And seeing, you know, without judgment, just to see, and then us coming up with that solution together, what can we do to make bedtime a little easier? What are the compromises? And yeah, that I think is my takeaway.
Yeah. And you might even ask him to do a little experiment with you and, you know, explore how much sleep does it really make a difference for him to have. I mean, the research is pretty clear that they all need at least 8 hours. But, you know, how do you function when you only get 5 or 6? How do you function when you get 7 or 8, you know? Like, if he's that kind of kid who might like like to do a little science with it, do that. If not, don't do that, you know?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Who else? Yeah, who else? Aha's, commitments, or anything else you want to share?
This is Carolyn, and I what was so surprising to me is when we talked about the curiosity and listening about your son and all the other conversations, it just made me realize what a gift when we're all slow process. Well, I'm a slow, wicked slow processor, and it really helps me to process out loud. And to be given that precious gift of someone else being curious about what I'm saying, it's like, wow, I want to put myself in more situations where that's a gift I'm giving myself, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm beginning to be able to notice that, I'm not the only slow processor in the world, and that sometimes a conversation has gotten stuck because not like the other person needs some time to process.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so that was just the curiosity almost feels like it's a pause button or a let's not do work here. Let's just kind of explore. You know, and not exploring to dig into the deep depths, but just like, you know, can we lighten up a little? So,
How beautiful.
And then, so for me, the major takeaway is, again, realizing that I am a slow processor, so I had better be a little more careful about prioritizing what it is that I am going to process.
Mm, awesome.
You know what I mean? It's like,
Well,
don't try to do all of them. And don't compare yourself to anybody else. What is the most important thing? And
or what's important now? Don't try not to get caught up in the most.
I was thinking
right?
This moment. This moment right now.
Yep, exactly. Love it.
So.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else? What came up for you today?
It's a good reminder to me on curiosity with what's going on, and not just for my daughter, but for, you know, what's happening around me, to just, you know, don't jump straight to, you know, getting frustrated, but just to ask myself, you know, I wonder what's going on here.
Yeah, I think it helps a lot in traffic and in business environments, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Any commitment for you, Pam?
I think to try and be more aware of, you know, when my own trigger, when I get frustrated, to step back and say, so what's actually going on that I'm not seeing?
Yeah. Well, I love the notion of getting curious about your own triggers, right?
Yeah, what's going on. Yeah.
Brilliant. Who else? Amy, Andrea, Sandy? Anything for any of you?
I'd just like to say basically the same thing. I like that in terms of turning the curiosity to yourself, too, to say, okay, what is, you know, how am I feeling about this? And I guess curious about your own takeaway of what's going on, and then curious about them.
Yeah. Which could be a great place to recognize, okay, I'm getting triggered. What's the pattern of what's triggering me? Right.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Because then, you know.
Cool. Anybody else?
Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess what came up for me is just getting all the tools of curiosity and the other ones we've talked about in the past. It has helped me be more patient because I get impatient when I don't see things changing or results or... And then I get triggered, and so just learning all these tools, it is helping a lot. I mean, I realize that sometimes I feel like I'm not doing anything, like you said, you know, just like sitting back and letting things happen, but it's not true. I am doing stuff. It's just sometimes it's just being curious, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Diane and I were talking about it this week about, because she's got a high school senior, right? So she's in that place that some of you are familiar with at senior year of high school where, you know, it's like it's a wild second semester of senior year's emotional roller coaster. And we were talking about how much work she's done to make sure she's at a great place with her senior now and to really focus on the relationship and how much work she had to do to let go of all the stuff and the details and the getting it done and all that other stuff to really be in relationship with him and to let that rule the day. Because, you know, he got out of the car and said, "I love you." And, you know, a friend of hers was like, "Your kid says I love you?" She's like, "Yeah." You know? And we were just sort of celebrating how much work goes into getting to that point, right?
A lot of it's just letting go.
Yeah, it's so much. And curiosity is a great access point for it, but as so many of the other things we talk about. But, yeah, it's just it's putting that relationship first.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to do, but it's so key.
Yeah.
So, Amy, what about you? Anything for you before we close?
I'm wondering if it's possible to not grow out of the teenage sleep brain cycle thing. I mean,
yes.
Kind of,
as an adult with ADD, you mean?
Yeah, because, like, you know, I mean, what you said about if I can catch myself and go to sleep before I wake up. I mean, like, I'm 50 and that happens. But that's been my life.
Me too. Me too. It's the hardest thing. I am, of all of the things around self-care that I've worked on for the last 12 years, the only one I have yet to really master, not master, but really get a handle on is sleep. It's hard.
Yeah. Okay.
And my husband and I mean, we've worked with coaches. We've done all sorts of things. We have yet to really get a handle on it. So I wish I could say, here's how you do it. But I will tell you that if you're struggling with it, it's valid. I've been doing a lot with sleep lately. We just posted something in the last couple of days on the value of naps and what different length naps will do for you. You know, in the 20-minute nap and the 60-minute nap and the 90-minute nap and there's just more and more and more stuff coming out around the importance of sleep and how hard it is when you have ADHD.
Okay.
So if nothing else, consider yourself really, really, really validated.
Thank you.
And it will, and not enough sleep will add to depression. Well, you know.
That's the crazy thing. Like,
yeah.
I get it. I just, when the moment comes, anyhow.
Yeah. So what I would encourage you to look at, Amy, is get curious about, you know, if you're struggling with getting to sleep at night, you know, maybe it's about catching yourself before you wake up. But maybe it's about giving yourself permission to nap during the day or, you know, to find other ways to get that rest. Meditation can sort of replace sleep in the body some. Yoga can replace sleep in the body some. So recognizing that you need it, start looking for, you know, if you can get if you can't get a handle on it there yet, maybe you look to something else that can help your body process that what it needs, that rest.
Yeah.
So.
Also, as a woman, when your hormones start changing, when you get to 50, I mean, it affects your sleep a lot.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? This is the most insane thing. Yeah. The hormonal whiplash has been interesting. But thanks for reminding me of that, because that's true. I've always been a night owl, but now it's you're right. Like, since the hormones started, it's turned into something even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. Like, that's all you need, right?
Pardon me?
All right, everybody. You guys rock. You're amazing, fabulous, conscious moms. And it is a privilege to be with you. Thank you all for your transparency and the amazing work you're doing. And I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.